Samyutta Nikaya, Sutra, Buddha mentions all are characterized by suffering owing to impermanence. All are characterized by suffering owing to impermanence. And also, he continually said, all are unsubstantial, unsubstantial, owing to impermanence. But this morning I would like to speak of the point, of Buddha's teaching, the all are characterized by suffering owing to impermanence. Suffering has been misunderstood by the Buddhist because we have accepted the Buddhist teaching the pessimistically, because all are characterized by suffering. It's pretty difficult for us to believe, to accept that kind of life, because we don't see the reality that all are characterized suffering. But part of our life is characterized by suffering, This is understandable, but it's very difficult for us to understand that all are characterized by suffering. That's pretty hard. So, because actually we experience not only suffering but also pleasures and happiness, we experience this one. So it's pretty hard for us to understand that one. But anyway, Buddha mentions all are characterized by suffering owing to impermanence. Well, let's see suffering in terms of three stages. First stage, suffering is understood in common sense. So in Buddhism, Buddha mentions suffering, Buddha mentions how we accept suffering. So, in Buddhism, there are three kinds of threefold acceptance of suffering. Well, I said acceptance, but sometimes acceptance in Japanese is translated as feelings in English. So threefold feelings of suffering. One is pleasure, second pain, and also third is not pleasure or not pain. And not pleasure, not pain. That is third feeling. So we experience suffering through the threefold feelings: pleasure, pain, or not pleasure, not pain. This is very common. So in order to be free from suffering, there is no other way to extinguish the suffering except pleasure, except the pleasure. So you have to get the pleasure, and then suffering is extinguished. In order to extinguish the pleasure, you have to get the suffering. Except the suffering, you cannot get the pleasure. So very naturally, vice versa, there is a very this way of living is really based on the relative ideas. In order to be free from suffering, there is no other way to be free from suffering except than, pleasure. To be free from, there is no other way to be free from pleasure than suffering, the pain. So always we are going this way, that way, this way, and that way. So constantly we are going. This is a very common state of human life we do. That is called samsara, perpetual, constantly going of human life like this. So we understand suffering in common sense like this. If you understand suffering in common sense, we have to go perpetually in the relative state of human life, constantly. So no freedom, no peace, constantly. So that is the first stage. Everyone should go through, you should experience that one, because everyone exists in that realm. So we have to go the second stage, that is all our suffering, all are characterized by suffering, all into impermanence. In order to be free from human suffering, which we have understood in common sense, you have to go into religious life or spiritual life. In order to get into the religious life or spiritual life, anyway, we have to understand the common idea of suffering more deeply and deeper. You have to understand. So that is the second stage. All are characterized by suffering owing to the impermanence, because all sentient beings are based on impermanence. From this point, there is no exceptions. Grounded on stream of impermanence. From this point, not only the human being, but also trees, birds, all sentient beings are, characterized by something. So the other day, last Saturday, I mentioned about the impermanence. Impermanence means change. But if you attach to, if you fall into the idea of the sameness, When you look at your life from the past to the present to the future, and then you believe always there is a sameness. That time, if your life is really grounded on the idea of the sameness, which you never change, at that time, idea of change doesn't come into existence. So you cannot attach to one-sided idea of the sameness, the same and one. No. On the other hand, if you look at your life through the past to the present to the future, you see that something changing constantly. So there is no sameness, no idea of the sameness, constantly change. So you attach to the change, constant change. In other words, difference, constantly difference, entirely different. Today is entirely different from, you know, yesterday or tomorrow's, completely separate. So all of us separated individually, so no connections, because everything is changing. This is also one-sided ideas, one-sided ideas. So very naturally you become pessimistic, very naturally you can't feel this warm. You cannot feel the warm and kind or friendly among human relationships. Nothing. So very, your life becomes naturally cold in the relation between you and others. So you cannot attach to this idea too. So very naturally, the change, idea of change, takes you to no attachment to either one of ideas, okay? Sameness or difference. So you have to, if you attach to one-sided ideas, your life is frozen, or sometimes burn out. So you cannot attach to either one of them because your life is constantly, alive. So this is called middle way, Buddha mentions, middle way. But with your consciousness, it's pretty easy for us to be stuck by one-sided ideas every day. If you look at your life, very naturally you are stuck immediately. If you're stuck by the one-sided ideas, your life stops. You can't move. That is a characteristic of your consciousness. Consciousness drives you to be stuck in the one-sided idea of the sameness or difference. But everyday life, actually, your life must be alive, complete beyond two excessive ideas, sameness or difference. Because if you look at your life in reality, completely you are same. Your life is exactly same as the childhood. You cannot say so. Your life now is completely different from your childhood. You cannot say so either. So what is your life in reality?
reality of your life, which is really alive day to day, is completely beyond two excessive ideas of the sameness or difference. But in consciousness level, you are stuck. In the realm of reality, your life is go beyond that two ideas. So two contradictory state of human existence is there in your everyday life. You cannot destroy your consciousness. So Dogen Zenji mentions, in Genjo Koan's Buddha way is beyond fullness and lack. Fullness and lack means Buddha way is beyond being or non-being, or the sameness, beyond the sameness, or the difference. That is a Buddha way. Buddha way means real picture of your life in reality, which is going day by day fully alive. So that is called Buddha way. So your life is completely beyond idea of being or non-being, idea of the sameness or difference. So you have to understand that one, and also you have to dwell in there, and you have to make your life alive in that realm of being beyond, going beyond the fullness and lack. So Dogen Zenji mentions, how do we do? Dogen Zenji mentions, learn the step backward and eliminate yourself inside. That's
illuminate
inside. Learn the withdrawal. Learn the step
backward
step. Learn the backward step means instead of going the rushing into the blindly anyway, little bit you have learned a way of life backward step. Means don't rush into. So that is always teaches you don't rush into the quickly. So take time a little bit. So that is because if you always handle your life by your consciousness, you are stuck. You're stuck by, anyway, two excessive ideas, sameness and difference. So you cannot do it. So that's why you have to learn the backward step, because looking at yourself always, they asking yourself, your life is fully alive beyond two ideas, two excessive ideas, sameness or difference. Because you have to come back to reality, total picture of reality, your life is going. So you have to ask yourself, your life is always alive or you are stuck. That's why Ganto, the master, says when he get up in the morning, he said to himself, good morning, Ganto. And hello, he said, fine, good morning, how are you? He said to himself like this. Means he always try to learn who he is. He tried to learn the fully aliveness of his life, going beyond two ideas. So that is Dogen Zenji mentions, learn backward step and then illuminate. Always illuminate. Backward, if you always backward, if you always withdraw, your life doesn't work. So, because very naturally you become pessimistic and disappointed. So very naturally you have to go forward. For this, anyway, you have to illuminate yourself inside means, content of your life, quality of your life as a whole. How the your life in reality is going. So complete beyond your consciousness, complete beyond two ideas which you have understood by your consciousness. So you have to go forward. Reflect upon yourself and go. Reflect upon yourself and go. Reflect upon yourself and go. Always you have to do it. So that is the teaching of impermanence. Impermanence. So impermanence is a middle way. Middle way. Mentioned by Buddha. The practice of middle way is to learn the backward step and illuminate yourself inside, which means go constantly forward. For the future, step by step. so, that is the second stage. All are characterized by suffering owing to impermanence. If you understand impermanence correctly, very naturally, you cannot stay with the second stage, so-called everything is impermanence. Impermanence means emptiness. There is no particular things you have to grasp because you must be always alive beyond being stuck by two ideas. So actually nothing to depend on the ideas of human life. Actually you have to be alive. So if you get into the religious life, then naturally you can understand even slightly the impermanence. If you see impermanence, impermanence means emptiness. So there is nothing to grasp. But on the other hand, it's suffering owing to the impermanence. That's where you suffer. Means by consciousness. We always create two ideas, two excessive ideas, and are stuck by. Then always we have to, even though consciousness, even though you are stuck by consciousness, well, and suffer from your life, but you have to go deeply into the human life spiritually because of the understanding human life based on the suffering owing to the impermanence. So very naturally, what is a suffering? Suffering is, basically root of the suffering is empty, impermanence, so-called emptiness. But if you stay with the second stage, you become pessimistic because emptiness. So very naturally, what is the emptiness? What is the impermanence? Where it's no attachment to two excessive ideas. What do you mean? That means third stage. In the third stage, you have to come back to yourself. You have to illuminate yourself. Illuminate yourself. How do you practice that suffering impermanence in your everyday life? That Dogen Zenji mentions, learn backward step and illuminate yourself. So that is a third stage. Third stage. So you cannot stay there of the second stage, so-called emptiness. Life is emptiness. Suffering is emptiness. Suffering doesn't have its own root, so-called emptiness. But you can't stay always there because you become pessimistic. So very naturally, you have to once more again illuminate yourself, look at yourself, how can you practice this one in your everyday life. So, that's third stage. Okay. So, in your everyday life, you make every possible effort to make your life alive day by day, from moment to moment, but on the other hand, still there is a suffering. So what makes it possible for your suffering to exist? So that is the second stage. You have to come back to yourself. So you suffered from your life by means of, you know, ignorance, three poisons we say. Or three poison means greed, anger, ignorance. Greed means a thirsty desire turned into the greed. Under favorable conditions. In other words, you become greedy for favorable conditions. When your life is going pretty well, that time you really attach to. You are greedy for your life. That is greed or covetousness. On the other hand, the thirsty desire turned into anger or hatred under unfavorable condition. That is poison of anger. So you are not fond of unfavorable conditions. But the situation is always changed. And ignorance is something which make two of them, anger, greed, continuous. It's pretty deeply that it's ignorance. You don't know why. You don't know why you are fond of your life and the favorable condition. You don't know why you hate it. You hate your life under unfavorable condition. There is something which makes them, both of them, continuous. So this is a three poisons, okay? So, even though intellectually you understand pretty well through the first stage and second stage, and then you can get into the spiritual life, and then very deeply you touch the human life, what the suffering is, what the ignorance is, what impermanence is. But still, that understanding is not good enough. So very naturally, you have to illuminate yourself once more again, what makes it possible for your life to suffer. That is called three poisons. So So that naturally, you, if you go deeply, more deeply into the spiritual life, you can get up from that second stage and then come back to everyday life. That is the third stage. Then very naturally, what you have to do is to be free from the three points anyway. At that time it is called freedom of suffering and impermanence itself. First, in the first stage, we are always going perpetually in the same pattern, going to the suffering and pleasure and pain, or neutral. By this samsaric way, we try to be free from suffering, but actually no way to get to be free from. So usual people always try to believe that we can be free from suffering only by getting the pleasure or neutral feeling, or the feeling of the pleasure. That's it. But in the third stage, the people understand their something more than the way of freedom, understood the in terms of the first stage. In other words, some the people in the third stage understand, or just say, some ways to be free from suffering, not only the by means of getting the pleasure or neutral feelings, something more than that. That is by means of extinguishing three poisons. So, physically, that means the third stage. In the third stage, physically, there is always pain and pleasure and neutral, each so-called suffering. Okay? But there is no mental suffering. Mental suffering. In a passive way, you can say there is only the physical pain, physical suffering, but no mental suffering. But in a positive way, you can say there is a physical suffering, but only mental pleasure. For instance, when you become sick, physically you are sick, physically you feel pain. But you can accept the pain in peace, in harmony. There is no mental suffering right in the middle of sickness. So, still you can smile, you can be peaceful, harmonious, right in the middle of sickness. Because you are free from three poisons. Three poisons means, I told you before, three poisons means, anyway, not free from anger under the unfavorable conditions. Free from pleasure under the favorable conditions. So you become free from greed and anger. And also, if you are free from greed and anger, very naturally, ignorance drops out. Because ignorance is a different expression in terms of intellectual deep understanding, deep intellectual understanding. That is ignorance, we say. But when ignorance alive appears in everyday life, it appears as greed and anger. Mainly, we can say. So if you're free from greed and anger or hatred, then naturally ignorance drops off. So very naturally, the under the unfavorable conditions, so-called ill, well, you have to accept your life and make your life alive day by day. That is no mental suffering, only mental joy, spiritual joy. So you can always take care of your life, being free from being stuck, being free from anywhere, or say two-sided ideas, sameness or difference, being or non-being, pain or pleasure, or neutrals. You can be completely free from. So that is there are quite a difference between the third stage and the third stage. In the first stage, people are constantly going and in order to be free from suffering, but the more they try to do, the more they create suffering. So that is samsara. But the third stage, and people always right in the middle of suffering, but they don't create suffering more. They are just be there in peace, in harmony. And right in the middle of suffering, they know how to make their life alive. That is just mental joy there. So physical suffering is not influences his life so much. Just mental, the physical pain or suffering, that's it. But only the mental joy. That is the third stage. So at any cost, we have to go through the three stages. And then very naturally, we can understand what suffering is. And we can understand the teaching of Buddhist teaching, so-called all are characterized by suffering owing to impermanence. And then next, Buddha mentions owing to the impermanence, all are emptiness, all are unsubstantial. That means all are emptiness. So that is Buddha's teaching in early Buddhism. Through this Buddha's teaching in early Buddhism, Buddhism tried to develop philosophical and psychological. That is huge Buddhist scriptures. But when you come back, Buddha's teaching in early Buddhism, it's exactly the same as Buddhist philosophy and Buddhist psychology. But in the Buddhist scriptures in early Buddhism, Buddha mentions very simply, just like all are characterized by suffering owing to impermanence. So very naturally people are misunderstand that teaching.
Is the Buddha nature impermanent?
Mm-hmm. Buddha nature impermanence. That is Dogen Zenji's really understanding. Buddha nature is impermanence. Impermanence is Buddha nature. If you read the chapter of the Buddha nature, Dogen Zenji mentions that in that way. Because impermanence is not an idea of change, because when impermanence penetrates into your life, impermanence really helps your life. Understanding deeply and let you know how to exist, how to take care of your life. So impermanence is not pessimistic philosophical ideas. It's nothing but the Buddha nature.
In the first briefing, we talked about pleasure and suffering. Is that the first stage?
Pleasure and pain.
Pleasure and pain and suffering is the first?
First stage, in common sense. Three feelings of pleasure, pain, neutral. Neutral means not pleasure, not pain. Just like, faint, just like sleep. Just like you don't care. So you don't care your life, Do you feel happy? I don't care. Do you feel unhappy? I don't care. This kind of type of thing. That is neutral. But actually, it's pretty hard to be a neutral. As long as your consciousness is alive, you can feel, you can accept human life, But after the first stage of acceptance of the suffering, it's very simple. Very simple. Just think of, birds and trees, and when the birds dies, it just dies. When the trees fall down by the wind, just fall down, just die. Very simple. But that is neutral. Okay. Neutral means not pleasure, not pain. But it's pretty hard to do that. But we can do. We can do in a sense. For instance, you just run the around the lake. It's pretty hard work, but when you just run, you can do it. You don't feel pain, you don't feel pleasure, but when you start to think about it, how do you feel? That is a pleasure sometimes, that is a pretty hard. Mm-hmm. So sometimes you can feel pain, you can feel pleasure. But right in the middle of running, you don't feel anything, just the run. So that is neutral. When you sleep, it's neutral. But it's still neutral is also suffering, because you accept. You accept your life, your object.
I don't see how that's suffering. I don't see how neutral is suffering. I don't see how.
But that is a first stage, and suffering grows. That is kind of root. Okay. And then suffering, trees grow there. Without root, trees doesn't grow. So neutral is kind of a first stage of feelings. Okay. First stage of the feeling. So very simple. But from that, it's gross, so it's nothing but the pain. So, that's why neutral is also pain.
Because we try to re-experience that? How does suffering grow out of that?
Because acceptance, feelings, tangibilities, whatever it is, you know, acceptance means a tangibility, contact. Contact with your object, your world, and then that is called feeling.
I get very attached to that neutral, but then it goes away, and then it really seems painful for me.
Well, that's what I was asking, but is that what you mean? That we get attached to neutral, or we get attached to pleasure?
Well, attached to the neutral is also pretty painful.
Mm-hmm.
I know, but is that why you mean neutral and pleasure or suffering?
Well, strictly speaking, neutral is not pleasure, not pain. That's why that is a very first stage of the pain or pleasure. First stage, before you put a certain name on it. So that is neutral. When you just run, when you just a dancing practice of dance, you know, there is no idea of pain or triggers and no rewards and thoughts and cons, success and failures. You just practice these things, huh? It's neutral.
What's the difference between that and
being one? That is constantly you go beyond. You know, good or bad, right, wrong, or pain, or pleasure, and neutral. You just, that is a samadhi. But if you act just like a sportsman practicing, you know, on the ground, as a football player, you know, always running over there, but they just run. Because still there is that the running is, practicing is a kind of, well, some idea. You have some idea for what? Why do you do this? Mm-hmm. So there is some purpose. But even though you have a purpose, your action has a purpose, but all you have to do is beyond the purpose. Regardless of whether you become a great football player or not, you always practice every day. That is neutral. Beyond pain or suffering, or hard or easy. Completely beyond this.
It's not backed by reason.
No. It's very simple practice anyway. So no guarantee. This is neutral. And then, after you experience that one, then after that, trees grow. It's a so-called, ooh, hard work. And then after that, your practice is matured, it's, you can see this. So that's where pain and pleasure come up.
Because neutral and pleasure aren't backed by wisdom, they're suffering.
Right? Mm-hmm.
Because neutral and pleasure aren't backed by wisdom,
mm-hmm.
That's why they're suffering.
Wisdom that neutral suffering, backed by wisdom, that's why you suffer.
Right,
that's what we call it suffering.
Yeah, that's sort of what I mean.
Because they're not backed by wisdom.
Therefore, they create suffering. If they were backed by wisdom, they wouldn't create suffering.
Well, in wisdom, there is no particular suffering, so called suffering. So it's impossible to create the suffering by wisdom, because within wisdom, there is no suffering.
That's what I mean. So, are you saying that because neutral, the state of being neutral, when the state of being neutral and the state of pleasure are not backed by wisdom?
Neutral is still the going, something going in the realm of humans themselves.
Mm-hmm, that's what I meant.
Mm-hmm. It's not the wisdom, exactly.
That's what I meant.
It is based on, anyway, wisdom, but it's not exact wisdom. But it's grounded on the wisdom. Sure. But it's not exactly the same.
So if there's wisdom, there's no
subject,
no neutral
feelings, no pleasure. No. Subject freedom. That's why you have to understand when you go deep, depth of neutral, if you go to the depth of the pain and pleasure and neutral, and then wisdom comes. Turn off.
Is the mental pleasure or the mental joy the natural concomitant of mindfulness,
mm-hmm.
And freedom from suffering? That's not a neutral place. That's a place of joy.
It's not neutral.
Is there a way of getting attached to that joy?
Well, if you attach to joy, that is suffering, it becomes suffering. that mental joy is nothing to let you attach. So in the realm of mental joy, there is a physical pain there, but it appears and disappears. There is no reasons, no ways to attach to it. That is mental joy.
What's the difference between mental joy and equanimity?
The same thing. Equanimity is a state of mental joy in terms of a state of equanimity. State of the, let's say, mental joy. Mental joy is a function, kind of a function of the wisdom. But equanimity is a kind of state of mental joy.
Is it then that neutral is not deep enough? It's not the same as equanimity. It's like from neutral you can easily go back into suffering.
Yeah.
Where I definitely is much deeper,
much deeper.